This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, November 13th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the International Energy Agency says oil production will decline faster than previously expected in coming years. Also, more figures out of China, which suggest the economy in the PRC is slowing. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll have the latest weather conditions across the corn and soybean belts. It's all on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 578 up 2.5. March, 593 up 2.75. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat, 538.25, up 5.25. March, 558.75, up 5.25. May, 573.5, up 5.25. July, 587.75, up 5.25. December corn, 377, up 7.5. March, 393.5, up 7.25. May, 404.75, up 6.75. July, 416, up 7. September, 426.5, up 7. December of 2009, 440.25, up 7.25. November beans, 887, up 1.75. January, 894, down 1. March, 903, down 2. May, 913.25, down 2. July, 921.5, down 1.5. November of 2009, 918, down 3/4. December soybean meal, 264, down 240. January, 265.10, down $3. December soybean oil, 32.81, up 23. January, 33.17, up 20. December live cattle, 90.55, up 2.5. November feeders, 97.17.5, up 32.5. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Let's take a look at the outside markets. December crude oil at 58.20 is up 204. January, 59.20 up 217. December ethanol settling at 164.8 up 26. January, 163.5 up 9/10. December natural gas at 636.5 is off 4 cents. January, 651.9 is off 4.1. Take a look at some of the metal contracts here. December silver settling at 880 was off 68 cents. December gold at 705 was off $13.30. Dow Jones Industrial Average of 8,835 is up 52. The NASDAQ 1510 up 11. The S&P 500 at 860, and it's up just over 8 points. Looking at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in the north and central sections, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows ranging from 37 in far northwestern Illinois to around 50 in some central and southern locations. Tomorrow, cloudy with areas of rain. Highs ranging from 44 in far northwestern Illinois to 64 in the far south. Extended outlook, blustery and colder weather is expected Friday night and into Saturday. The wind on Saturday will be out of the west-northwest and around 20 to 30 miles per hour with higher gusts. Snow showers and flurries are likely on Saturday with light snowfall accumulations possible in some areas. Some lake effect snow squalls are also likely in parts of northern Indiana. Be sure to join us this evening, November 13th, at Krieger's Sports Grill in Taylorville, Illinois, for another one of our AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. The meeting is up there on Bidwell Street, and it's in the plaza there next to Kroger's. And the meeting getting underway for the informational session at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Ed Kieser, our chief meteorologist here at AM 580. He'll talk about the weather conditions over the next several weeks. Also on the panel is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Greg Johnson from the Andersons in Champaign, and this man, Dan Zwicker, of ADM Grain Group, and he is out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we do have a meeting this afternoon, and I do expect that one of the topics du jour will be whether or not a recovery rally is on the horizon, especially as we look out maybe at some of those contracts a little further out, perhaps the March corn.
Well, today's action was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought yesterday this third drive down here to try to make a bottom that we've kind of put together here over the last 3 to 4 weeks, it does kind of look like maybe that corn market has at least gotten itself in position to give a recovery rally a try. And I guess that's about what I can say. I think a lot of what we can maybe get going on the upside is still going to be hinged upon how the trade views the overall global economy and whether or not how deep a recession we're going to expect. But I do think looking at some of your shipping activity, it does look like there is a pickup in the world shipping market. So there is, it does seem like there's getting to be a little more activity after having gone flat here for about a month or 6 weeks. It does look like there is a little more interest in the international market. So at least I'm somewhat cautiously optimistic that we might be able to get in position and maybe kind of have some kind of rally maybe going into Thanksgiving.
Doesn't seem like a day goes by, Dan, without some piece of negative news to beat traders over the head with. Today's was the federal government beginning the new budget year with a record deficit of $237.2 billion. That according to the Treasury Department. Is there a, in your mindset as you look at these markets and look at the technicals, do you evaluate the sort of the psychological pieces of how traders are feeling about the markets?
Well, traders are traders. You know, the main thing that I see what's happening in this economy is I know everybody's been talking about credit freezing up and whatnot. There is no doubt that a lot of your commerce now has gone from cash on the barrel head. No, everybody's leery of who to do business with, whether or not you're buying from them or selling to them. Credit, nobody really believes anybody's got any credit. Nobody knows how sound a foundation they are on and whether or not they're going to go into bankruptcy court next week or 2 weeks from now. So we have seen the commerce trade, a lot of it go to cash up front or prepay type thing. The other thing is the consumer has just totally stopped spending. No matter what you do until his psychology changes and gets more into a more of a spending pattern, the economic slowdown is going to continue. There's just hardly any cars being sold. I think if you go to the malls, there's not a lot being bought. So it's going to be interesting to see how things kick off here after Thanksgiving and how big a drop we have actually in pre-Christmas sales.
It's not that spending has completely dried up. I think that some people maybe have changed their spending patterns. I mean, if you go to McDonald's or Walmart, they're doing a pretty brisk business.
Well, of course, they're positioned to. I mean, they're at the more economical line of products and menus. And, of course, yes, everybody steps down a notch or two, or they, rather than eating a $20 meal, they're going to step back and maybe go try to find a $5 or $6 meal. So, yes, the McDonald's and the Walmarts at least seem to be positioned in the current economy to kind of be the big winners. Your mid-range restaurants probably are going to struggle in here at least for a while.
Turn your attention to the soybeans. This morning I promised everyone we would get to that from a technical standpoint.
Well, soybeans are right on the edge of the table here of breaking out of a sideways to higher trend. We did dip below the trend line here that I have looking at the January bean, which kind of is drawn off of the October 16th low connected to kind of like the October 24th, 25th lows. Now today we did go down underneath that trend line, but we did manage to come back and hold the close at that trend line. So beans are struggling in here, but they're still kind of in a what I would call a sideways to higher trend. But just looking at it briefly here, you can see though, since we did take out the previous low, which was done last Friday or so, and this week's rally failed to make a new high, it does, you know, you could maybe begin to argue that there's a little smaller trend developing that's kind of sideways to lower in here. So from a cyclical point of view, we're 4 weeks out from the low that we had there in October. One would maybe kind of be on alert anyway for the bean market to maybe turn down and be soft going into first week or so of December. But until that happens, we're still kind of in a sideways to higher trend. Longer term picture, I worry about the sideways to higher pattern that we've had may end up being a bear flag formation, which would signal a fairly steep decline down. Levels that nobody really wants to hear about, but I think that's kind of going to be hinged upon whether or not the Dow can kind of hold in this level where we're at and try to build a consolidation phase, or if we're going to break out of it to the downside. Now, earlier today when we were down like 200 or 300 points on the Dow, it looked like, you know, the Dow price action was signaling that low was going to give way that we had here a few weeks ago. And then that would tee up a downside price objective to go down underneath 7,000. So, but so far, it kind of looks like we've avoided that today here. At least the Dow's been able to kind of manage to come back here with another hour and a half or so of trade, and we're up 100 points or so.
And we'll have to see if there's follow-through to the upside, although this Dow has been all over the place. And I don't know how much faith I would have in any kind of a technical picture at the moment that would suggest a double bottom might be forming, even with some follow-through to the upsides and
future
sessions.
Well, you know, you have to say that if we close higher today, that's at least a step in the right direction if you want to argue a bull case on the Dow, that the Dow is bottoming. I do think that there's still some serious fundamental problems with the Dow. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there. It does look like Washington is probably going to drop the B, and we're going to start using T's on deficit spending, which I mean we're going to start going to trillions rather than billions. So it does look like it'll be interesting to see, and I think that worries the market somewhat about all of this federal deficit spending, then bailing out money that we have, what that's going to do to the underlying structure of the economy.
While the Dow didn't get a new low for its move, the S&P 500 did today, and it's rallied off of that significantly.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like we're maybe trying to carve out a sideways congestion area, but anytime you're, even if it's a congestion area, we're still vulnerable to go to that this could be the halfway point of a move down to 6,000, it also could be a longer-term sideways range of 2,000 points here between 8 and 10,000 that we may stay here for several months. You don't know for sure. And, of course, the longer you stay in the congestion, the better, the more odds you have that this is maybe the new trading range because this volatility will eventually slow down at some point down. But right now, with all of the uncertainty and how Treasury is walking through the bailout package, that makes traders nervous.
Is the U.S. dollar still a linchpin to all of this analysis?
Well, I think it is. The dollar has been strengthening because that has been a flight to safety move. Now, at some point in time, that flight to safety is going to subside, and then the market is going to begin to realize that politicians, with all of their bailout spending money, that we are maybe headed to a long-term picture of maybe more inflation or stagflation. But at some point in time, all of this expansion of money and spending of money is eventually going to make our dollars worth less. So then that would be a negative influence. And, you know, today's price action is only one day, but it does look like the Dow or the dollar chart could be tracing out a double top type formation, and maybe this most recent leg up here has subsided, or this flight to quality in the market now is going to begin to focus on all of the deficit spending that we're seeing in Washington.
Very quickly, anything else are you looking at?
That's the main focus, is the dollar, because I think that tells you whether or not you're in a deflating type economy, deflation or inflation. I think that's the barometer, and so far it has been more in a deflationary mode, which means that there's liquidation, cash is king. We'll have to see. We could have done some permanent damage to the psychology of the consumer. We'll have to kind of see how this Christmas goes. Okay. But if this consumer doesn't start spending, then we're going to see more deflationary type pressures.
Thanks, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grand Group. He is in Decatur, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the International Energy Agency says production at the world's oil fields will decline faster in coming years, putting more pressure on future oil supplies. The Paris-based watchdog, which represents the interests of energy-consuming nations, made its prediction in a detailed analysis of 800 of the world's oil fields, the first report of its kind. The study, part of the IEA's annual World Energy Outlook, shows the investment needed to increase overall oil production, along with offsetting the declines of today's aging fields, may be higher than previously estimated. The IEA says the world will have to invest $26.3 trillion by 2030, or more than $1 trillion a year, to ensure adequate energy supplies. That is $4 trillion more than its year earlier estimate. Japan's Ministry of Agriculture purchased as much food wheat as it was seeking in a regular tender for the first time in a month, after changes to importing rules this week helped traders to place more bids than before. The difference was a clause which the ministry inserted on Tuesday in contracts requiring importers to insure for possible costs to deal with wheat unfit for consumption. Previously, stricter wheat importing rules in the wake of a tainted rice scandal did not require importers to take insurance to cover such costs, resulting in unfair competition. China's National Bureau of Statistics says growth in China's industrial output slowed in October to its lowest level in 7 years. Industrial output grew 8.2% in October from a year earlier, down from September's 11.4%. The bleak industrial figures are unusually bad for exporters because they reflect an avalanche of canceled orders for the key Christmas season. The weakness could have global repercussions because Chinese factories are major consumers of imported components and raw materials. In other news from the PRC, China announced that it will consider allowing corn exports again, fearing a domestic glut due to weak demand and a bumper harvest. But traders say relaxing the rules may not be enough to stir exports, since a sharp drop in freight rates has made U.S. corn cheaper for Asian consumers like South Korea and Japan, while the Chinese government is trying to support domestic prices by buying up some 5 million tons for government stocks. The China National Grain and Oils Information Center on Wednesday reaffirmed its forecast for a record 156 million tons corn crop this year, up 2.4% from 2007. U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says that he is abandoning his original plan to buy troubled assets from financial institutions. In detailing the next phase of the Treasury's $700 billion troubled asset relief program, Paulson indicated the government would continue flooding the financial institutions with cash, but would also try to increase the availability of student loans, auto loans, and credit cards. Paulson says he is also examining ways to help prevent foreclosures. U.S. mortgage applications rose last week, recovering from an almost 8-year low as potential borrowers took advantage of a sharp drop in interest rates. The Mortgage Bankers Association says its seasonally adjusted index of mortgage applications, which includes both purchase and refinance loans, for the week ending November 7th, increased 11.9% to 425, up from the previous week when the reading reached its lowest level since December of 2000. Meanwhile, RealtyTrack reports the number of homeowners caught in the wave of foreclosures in October grew 25% nationally over the same month in 2007. More than 279,000 U.S. homes received at least one foreclosure-related notice in October, an increase of 5% over September. More than 84,000 properties were repossessed in October. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Bob Goodlatte is bumping up against the House Republican Conference's rule that ranking members should serve only 6 years in leadership positions, but it is unclear whether he wants the conference to let him continue. Goodlatte served 4 years as chairman and the last two as ranking member of the committee. If Goodlatte is to give up the post, Representative Frank Lucas, a Republican from Oklahoma, is next in line. Lucas has indicated he would be interested in taking over. And Walmart Stores is reporting a 10% increase in third quarter profit. The company, however, is reducing its profit outlook amid a weak economy. The Bentonville, Arkansas-based retailer said today that profits rose to $3.14 billion, or 80 cents per share, in the quarter ending October 31st. That compares with $2.86 billion, or 70 cents per share, a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Indian Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1805, the people of Vienna, Austria claimed the invention of the Frankfurter. but the history is murky. It's also said that the Frankfurter came from Frankfurt, Germany in 1484, 5 years before Columbus sailed for the New World. Wieners and Frankfurters don't become hot dogs until they're put in a bun or roll. By the way, the corn dog was introduced at the Texas State Fair in 1942. In 1895, the first shipment of canned pineapple left Hawaii. In 1927, the Holland Tunnel opened, the first Hudson River automobile tunnel from New York City to New Jersey. And in 1930, the Rololactor was developed by the Walker Gordon Dairy. It was a 50-stall revolving milking platform that could mechanically milk over 1,500 cows in 7 hours. The glass-enclosed revolving platform carried 150 cows at a time that were washed, dried, and mechanically milked twice daily. The machine was displayed at the 1939 New York World's Fair as part of the Dairy World of Tomorrow exhibit in the Borden Building. And that's This Day in Agricultural History. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Looks to me, as I'm looking out a little bit, if I'm reading things right, we're going to have rain and some snow across much of the Midwest into Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. Mostly the northern half, certainly, but it should work its way into Illinois late tomorrow night, really on Saturday in the early morning hours Saturday, and maybe snow showers through the day Saturday. We're going to see quite a difference in temperatures here. We're mild today, and tomorrow the mild temperatures will probably hang in there for a while with temperatures getting well up in the 50s again. And then this secondary cold front comes on through and generates some showers, probably beginning tomorrow night. The front's moving a little bit more slowly than it looked earlier. And then temperatures will cool sharply down. Temperatures will be getting down into the 30s by Saturday and stay in the 30s probably all day Saturday with showers in the form of snow showers in many places. I'm not looking for very much rain in terms of snow. There'll be some rain, wet rain, liquid rain on Saturday early in the morning before sunup. When the cools off, though, the snow showers, I think, will be mostly on the light, maybe briefly moderate side, but much colder.
Might we see an inch or two of accumulation further north you go?
Yes, I think that's what you can find, that the most of the activity will be further north and maybe across the northwestern portion of the state, and that's where you'll see some accumulating snow. I don't think it'll last too long, but it's certainly going to be a little touch of winter rather abruptly here.
And then a week out, some more storms on the way?
Well, really, nothing. There are a whole system of weak waves, as we call them, weak low-pressure systems that will be descending from northwest to southeast through the Midwest and then taking off to the east. But there's not going to be much moisture to support these systems. So I only look for maybe brief showers. Temperatures will be averaging below normal for most of next week, but not excessively so, except for this early shot of cold air and having temperatures being well above normal. It will seem probably a lot colder than it really is climatologically. We're running 12 to 14 degrees warmer than normal, for example, today and tomorrow.
Turn your attention to Argentina, where it looks to me like crop moisture stress is building.
Yes, again, they did get some rain in the Argentine, and then it dried out and got hot to boot. So it's drying out in much of northern Argentina. There were a few areas southwest Cordoba that picked up some rain, which may give a little boost to summer crops. But for the large areas of the summer agricultural belt, we're seeing dry weather and above normal temperatures. Some rain up in the northeast in Misiones province, for example, is part of an area that gave very beneficial showers to Brazil this past week. Now now they're in much better shape with moisture, but they're going to see most areas from southern Brazil down through the Argentine will have a dry week next week. Cool in Brazil, but warm in the Argentine. They seem to be the country having the most trouble with this weather pattern the past several months.
Thank you much, Peter.
My pleasure.
That is agricultural meteorologist Peter Lovett, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.